following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by IGS Energy and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and Comcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition, a live edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy from the PNC Center in Halisall, in front of our friends from Castrol and their local customers. Alongside 85 Bear, Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman, and Tom, I'm as jacked up for a show as we've had in a long time. That's because we've got one of the voices of the Bears locker room, rookie running back, and you know what? I shouldn't just call him a running back because I've seen him play wide receiver. He's been a punt return man. He's a kick return man. We saw him throw the ball as a quarterback. I'm just going to call him Bears football player Tariq Cohen. Hi, Tariq. Welcome to the show.
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Are you the voice of the locker room? Because, you know, every veteran that we've had a chance to do this show with, they've always brought up the personality and the fun that you have. For a young guy, have you always been that way in your life, or is this like a new experience that you've been able to capitalize on?
I feel like I've always been, you know, the energetic guy in the locker room. Always want to have fun, you know, joking around, laughing and joking with everybody.
But I was reading something about you today. You said that you did you really not think you were going to get drafted? Really? I read that you had said that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because going into my senior year, I really wasn't getting, like, heavily scouted by NFL teams. But I would think I was going to get a shot. Like, I knew I was going to get a shot at NFL. But to be drafted, I didn't think that was going to happen.
When did you come to the realization that through the evaluation process that you are on people's radars, that you're not just a free agent, not just a free agent, but you're not going to be a free agent, that someone out there is going to take take you with a pick?
It really was like the middle of the season in college, my senior year. More coaches started coming in, and it got to like a personal, we started getting to know each other personally. So I really felt like they started to want to figure me out and see who I was as a person. So then I knew, like, yeah, they might really take a shot on me.
Visiting with Bears running back Tariq Cohen here on Bears All Access. What was the strangest thing that a scout, a GM, any kind of evaluator from the National Football League wanted to know about you during the draft process?
I really didn't get the strange questions because that's what everybody was telling us about, you know, leading up to that moment. It was like, yeah, there's going to be some strange questions, wild questions going to be asked. But I feel like the weirdest questions was here. I got here and somebody was like, I heard your hands are, 10 inches long. And then he asked me, he was like, well, how big are your feet? And I'm like, oh, they're just normal. You know, I got normal feet. Just, and it was like, any other extremities on your body? And that was just funny to me.
I don't know where to get. I feel like sometimes it's good to just stick to the X's and O's, not the XY stuff.
You know right. What I mean? Exactly. But in terms of the measurements of the NFL and how much is placed in at the combine, it was a topic that was always, you know, on everybody's mind, whether they're a fan of the Bears today and they see your makeup, or if you're getting evaluated by scouts, they go, wow, this guy's got talent. But I think you've proved everybody not wrong. You proved everybody right that you are capable of doing anything that's asked of you.
Yeah, you know, that's what I like to do when I go out there on the field, because I like to say that I don't see myself as being small because I'm not looking at myself. So I just feel like I'm a football player, you know, and when I'm out there, I feel like I'm just as, you know, big as everybody else out there.
You know, when I realized that those are not just words, but he actually means what he's saying there. So the preseason game against Arizona, Tariq gets hit hard after he turned the corner and gained. It was a big gain against the Cardinals, and someone knocked you out of bounds. And then the guy right behind him is, you know, the huge defense, the nose tackle for the Cardinals, Frosty Rucker.
Yeah.
What is he, like 6'2", 300 plus? And he just stares Tariq down, right? And Tariq got hit hard. And you flipped back up. You looked at him. You smiled, and you ran back on the field as though, I'm not showing this team any pain.
Yeah, it was like when I got knocked out of bounds, I got up and I looked at him and I seen him looking at me, but I was like, he can't be looking at me. Like, I didn't do nothing to him. You feel me? So now I looked towards the field and I still felt him staring. You know how you can feel somebody staring at you? I looked at him again and he was trying to give me that intimidation stare. So that really kind of made me laugh. So I just laughed it off and ran back to the huddle.
And you earned the respect of the Cardinals. It's been well documented. The Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu,
yeah,
direct messaged you on Twitter. after that game?
Yeah, he just told me, you know, that he really respected my game and just stay humble and keep grinding.
Did it take you, like, from a preseason game to the regular season game to really get a better understanding of the requirements of the NFL? Because you know how everybody talks about the tempo of training camp is not 100%. The games are kind of more protective, but in the preseason or in the regular season, we saw a couple times where you took a couple shots from the Atlanta Falcons, you popped up and got back. Have you seen the climb and what's expected of you from training camp to now?
Oh yeah, I definitely seen the climb. You know, in preseason, I really didn't get hit as hard as the regular season, and then the first game of the season, I was getting lit up out there. I was trying to bounce up so fast, you know, so it seemed like it wasn't that hard of a hit.
Have you changed the way? Because I don't know if you saw this, Tom. I interviewed you, Tariq, right after the game against the Falcons at midfield. And during the interview, all these Falcons defensive players were coming to acknowledge you because they were impressed, that because they gave you shots and you bounced back up. Did after that game, did you kind of say to yourself, I have to change the way I'm doing some of the things out there on the field in terms of exposing myself to the hits that I'm taking?
I really took it as like I wasn't really adapted to the speed yet, you know. I felt like I wasn't keeping my head on the swivel because I was getting hit too hard. Like I was giving the defenders, you know, a clean shot, and that's usually something I don't do. So I credit it to, like, it just being the beginning of the season.
What has needed to be your biggest improvement from the end of your college career to what you need to sustain a career in the NFL? Is there any one thing that you said, okay, I can or I have to, or this is what I'm going to need to get better at in order for you to continue to making the progress that you've made since you got here?
I feel like it was two things. One on the field, you know, it was, you know, pass protection, because that's always a key to being on the field. And then the second thing was really off the field, you know, just going to rehab, you know, getting your body ready for the next day, the next practice, you know, just taking care of your body more.
Do you have did you have the same accesses and to where you went to college in terms of the technology and everything that you have here? Or has everything with the NFL been so upgraded that you didn't realize, like, some of these things were available to you?
Oh, yeah. While I'm here in Chicago, I feel like I'm in 30-30. You know, and then when I go back home to go to A&T, that's like 2017. You know, the technology here is crazy. Got ice tubs, hot tubs, you know, doing the contrast bath. They have all types of fruits and vitamins for you here. So it's a total upgrade.
The National Football League is a completely different world. We've got to take a timeout. When we come back, Tom, you're going to love this. Tariq Cohen works so hard, his bosses told them, let's take some time off here. Who gets that kind of treatment? We'll explain next here on Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy, in front of our friends from Castrol and their local customers on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy, a proud partner of the Chicago Bears, providing electricity, natural gas, and home warranty products to over 1 million customers across the country. Learn more about IGS Energy at IGS.com. Live from the PNC Center at Hallis Hall, in front of our friends from Castrol and their local customers, Tom Thayer alongside. I'm Zach Zaidman. We are pleased to be joined by Bears running back Tariq Cohen here on the show for the very first time. And Tariq told me this story last week, and I think it shows you how the NFL has changed, Tom, from the days where you were a player. You're going to love this. You're really going to love this. Could you imagine Mike Ditka coming to you during a practice and going, Tom, I'm going to need you to sit down. I just want you to rest. You're going at it too hard.
That would scare me.
You know, they have these new GPS trackers that they now can measure the body composition, your how hard you're working out there, everything about you physically, to make sure that you're at optimum physical performance. You were going at it so hard, Tariq, that they had to scale it back, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So the coaching staff comes over to him. They go, you know what, sit this one out. What's that like, especially in a locker room full of veteran players?
I did not like it. I did not like it because I wasn't feeling like – I didn't feel the toll on my body. So then when they came to me, told me that, you know, I didn't have to put cleats on. I just kept the sneakers on. So then all the vets was looking at me like, hey, bro, you forgot your cleats. You forgot your cleats. I'm like, no, they gave me the day off. I'm like, what? They gave a rookie a vet day? Oh, no. I'm like, oh, man, brought unwanted attention.
You told me you have your shoulder pads in the back of your car, and that's how it measured you going so fast?
Oh, yeah. They thought I was doing stuff, you know, that I didn't have to do, and that's why the numbers will be so high.
And no, for people that don't understand, I think that you have to bounce around from classroom to classroom here at Hallis Hall, because most people, for example, just, you know, Mitchell Trubisky's a quarterback. He spends time in the quarterback room. You start in the running back's room. Then how much time do you spend there before going to the receiver's room and then dealing with the special team stuff that you have to deal with?
The beginning of the day, I start off with the special teams. You know, we go through that. And then I'm really only in the running back's room. I don't even go to the receiver's room. Only time I get coached by the receiver's coach is actually on the field. I'll go to him and ask him for tips, you know, on the routes. And then I feel like all the receivers, they're also my coaches, so I ask them for advice on the routes. And then it's just like, you know, like a big family, really. You know, I'm just asking everybody for advice.
How learning the terminology is different for you, though, because when you're in the game as a running back, you listen to a certain segment of the terminology that directly relates to the running back position. Then you go in as a wide receiver, you got to learn the information that is for the wide receivers, but then you have to realize the information if in case there's an audible change at the line of scrimmage. How has that process been for you from where you were at college to what you're introduced to in the NFL?
You know, I credit the mental aspect of my game a lot to my position coach in college, because he made me learn the whole offense. You know, I would know what the receivers and what the quarterback had to know also. So then when I got here and playing multiple positions, it wasn't that tough of a job, but it was still a challenge. So when I go in the huddle, I always talk to myself and tell myself what position I'm at. You know, it reminds myself and also reminds, you know, everybody else in the huddle.
They say you have a full plate. And you know how I know this? Because earlier today, when the media was talking to you, you said that it means less time playing video games after work because you spend all this time on the iPad studying all the different positions, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I feel like as I get involved into the offense more, you know, it's less time on Call of Duty, less time, you know, getting my kill streaks and all of that and on 2K. So it's more time, you know, studying so I can be ready on Sunday.
So yeah, I get this right. Do you have a twin brother?
Yes.
He runs track?
No, he didn't. He didn't run track.
Oh, he did not run track. Mm-hmm. Who's the better athlete out of you two?
Definitely me.
Who's the better video gamer?
Definitely me.
Who's the better talker?
Definitely me.
but he can talk, too.
Yeah,
right?
He can.
Man, I said this last week to you, your poor mother, because that's a lot of Cohen. It's in stereo. She gets it from you and from him.
Oh, no, she doesn't get anything. We don't talk back to her at all.
What were the competition like with him? Because you're similar, obviously, in build, in age. So what was it like when you guys were playing sports as kids? Because I'm guessing you were a little better.
No, he was better.
Really?
Yeah, he was better than me. I didn't start doing good in football until I got in high school, and it was like my sophomore year. We played football in middle school, and he was scoring touchdowns and everything. And I wasn't even playing offense then. I was just like an average player on defense, you know, playing corner, trying not to get burnt or mossed. But, he was coming home, you know, getting game balls, touchdowns and everything. And I was just like, dang, I don't know when this started happening. I thought I was good.
Well, how did it click for you? You know, because eventually there's a point in your career that, boom, you're going to realize that something special can happen.
I started on special teams in high school. You know, I took a kick return back for a touchdown. And then my coaches seen what I could do with the ball in my hand, so they started putting me on the offense. And then it just started from there.
What age were you at when Devin Hester was in his prime?
I'm not sure, but I watched all of it.
Right.
I'm not sure what age I was at, though.
Right. Because, you know, I imagine that because he opened the eyes to a lot of people that the importance of that position of the returner, both punt and kick returner, and how you can mean as much to a football team as any other position. So I imagine guys growing up at that age that had skills like you do, that he was one of the guys that was going, man, he makes it fun.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then, you know, playing Madden and him being the only player ever to have 100 speed.
Right.
Oh, man, like, how do you get 100 speed? Like, it was just so crazy.
Man, you had to see him in real life because you can understand why if you saw him once on the field. And that brings me to, I think you're one of the players that you modeled yourself after was Reggie Bush, right, when you were younger. Do you look at, can you copy the moves of the great athletes in the NFL? Or the stuff that you do out there on the field, is it just natural? Did it just come natural to you?
I feel like it's natural. And then, like, but, you know, I do find myself trying to mimic moves from time to time, you know, on the field. You might do a move and be like, oh, yeah, that looked just like so-and-so. But, just the reaction time in a real-life game, you know, it's all natural and just, you know, you reacting to whatever's in front of you.
You know, when you think of Kobe Bryant, when he looks so much like Michael Jordan when he goes through the moves of basketball, I think so much of your success is related to vision and how you see the other guys opening up in front of you and where you can determine how to go. So it's hard to – you can say, boy, he looks like, but it's hard to say, I'm going to be like, because everybody's vision is different.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's hard to be exactly like somebody and play the game. You know, you got to be true to yourself and just play the game your way.
Tariq Cohen is our guest here on Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy. Now, the first few games of the season, you got extended playing time. I mean, they were using you a lot, and then it's kind of been scaled back. Now, teams have adjusted to what you do. You now have to make the adjustment to what they do. What is the toughest challenge that you have now in terms of earning the trust of the coaching staff to be put out there more, and once you're out there, being effective against what defenses are trying to do to you?
I feel like, you know, the main challenge is when I'm out there, and even if I'm getting double teamed or through whatever, I still have to, you know, make the right decision in my route, just get all the details down. So then when I'm on the field, I maximize, you know, the time that I'm on the field and I can make the best plays.
Tom, when you hear him say that, who stands out in terms of people that we can look at and say, if he does a little bit more of this and this, you're going to see that next level of success that Tariq is capable of reaching?
I mean, for like a guy like Adam Shaheen, for example, yeah, I mean, you look at what this guy's capable of, how good his blocking skills were when he first got here. He didn't have to take a whole season to learn how to block. Now he just has to get a little bit more seasoned in the passing game. And then, like Dow Loggins said it at the podium, I think, today, is in order for to get the most out of Tariq Cohen, the other 10 guys have to play really well. And I think that's the most important thing here. If Adam Shaheen's getting attention and, you know, Jordan Howard, obviously Tariq Cohen, Mitchell Trubisky is opening up his game, I think that's what's going to create opportunities for this group of talent to succeed for a long time. And, you know, I think Adam Shaheen, Daniel Brown, even Ben Broniker, they all have a bright future at that position.
And that's why, Tariq, earlier today you said it's not fair when you get double teamed because it's not a fair fight. Yet when you were in college, 11, it was 11 on one.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of different, though. It's kind of different in college because I feel like I was a superhero in college. So, you know, 11 regular men can't beat Superman.
Tariq Cohen is our guest here on Bears All Access. Every single week, seemingly, the man has a different nickname. What's it this week? We'll find out next from the man himself, Tariq Cohen. Our guest, Tom Thayer, is here. I'm Zach Sabin. Our guests are friends from Castrol and their local customers here on Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Visit ChicagoBears.com/Boeing Watch and Win to view a video featuring the USO of Illinois and get your chance to win a Bears VIP experience courtesy of Boeing. Help someone you know support the USO. Live from the PNC Center in Hallis, all in front of our friends from Castrol and their local customers. It's another live edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy. We've got 85 Bear Tom Thayer without the ring. Should wear the ring in these big events. Have it glean off the lighting. It's always a cool thing. Not many of us have had an opportunity to wear a Super Bowl ring, so you should treasure it in these moments.
Not much of a jewelry wearer, Zach.
Yeah, but
I do. I wish I did wear it because I was at an event last night where people were saying that they would like to get an opportunity to see the Super Bowl ring because they're kind of unique in their own life. But I just never wore it. And
I mean, it's not just a Super Bowl ring. You can make a case that it is the greatest team to ever play during the Super Bowl era for one
right.
year.
Right. You know, I think the neatest thing was, you know, you do, everybody places the importance on the Super Bowl ring and how much it means for a lifetime. But after a fact at one of the anniversaries, the Bears gave us replicas of the Super Bowl trophy. And to me, that's as neat as anything, because when people come in your house or wherever you have it, that's the first thing they see, and everybody knows the Super Bowl trophy. And some people won't wear the ring, and some people will, but the Super Bowl trophy is always out.
Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Sadman. They call me on the Score the ginger hair genius. Did you have a nickname?
No. You know, when your name is Tom, you don't have a nickname, because that's just what people call
you.
Yeah,
I've heard people call you T. That's usually
short
Tom,
for Tom.
Yeah, double T. The guy sitting next to you, our guest for the hour, Bears rookie running back Tariq Cohen. Very few people call him Tariq. Most people I know in that locker room call you Reek, right?
Yeah.
Now, in college, you were known as the human joystick because it just YouTube it, just unbelievable moves that you would only see on a video game, but this guy had him in real life. Then, during the draft process, one of the evaluators, I think Daniel Jeremiah, nicknamed you Chicken Salad. Clean it up for radio because he can make something out of nothing, if you know what I mean. And then you join the Bears, and I believe early on you were known as Big Daddy when someone asked you what your nickname was. And for people who don't know, you're what, 5'6"?
No, 6'5". My fault.
Yeah, sorry. You know, I'm the little guy. I apologize for that. And then after you threw the touchdown pass earlier this season, I guess you joined. Someone pointed out the name of the person who was, prior to that, the shortest person ever throw a touchdown pass. And what was his name?
Wee Willie.
Yeah, so you named yourself
Wee Reek. Wee Reek.
So what are you now? What today, as you sit here getting ready for the Detroit Lions, what's your nickname in your mind?
I was throwing some good passes in practice, you know, just throwing the ball around. So today I might be Reek Trubisky.
Well, you know, I tell you what, if you go to an NFL roster and you get some of these linebackers, defensive ends, whatever, offensive linemen, some of these guys can throw the ball pretty well. So you're always going to get a crew of guys that have been playing catch their whole life as they advance through football that they can get rid of it sometimes.
Oh, yeah, exactly, you know. But I feel like I'm a rare, you know, a rarity because I dropped a lot of dimes. A lot of dimes.
What about it? That throw? You know, this is the first time in a long time that they're going to have somebody else throw a pass, and all of a sudden it happens to be Tariq Cohen. Because of the practice, did you have a great deal of confidence in it, or you said, man, I'm going to see what happens when we run this play?
Oh, yeah, I was still nervous, you know, when they called the play. I'm like, I got to get the ball there. And then when I threw it, I actually threw it, like, way too high.
Yeah, you threw it like a three-point shot from downtown.
Way too high. It was a high arc, but it dropped right in the place it needed to drop. So then
right in the bread basket, right, of Zach Miller at the time. That was a phenomenal play. And he had to – I mean, the week before, the punter threw a touchdown to another running back in Benny Cunningham. There was no way that you were going to let the punter have one with when you got that opportunity on the road in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, it was like a little showdown. We both got perfect QBRs.
Yeah, I asked O'Donnell, by the way, after he threw that touchdown pass, if he's going to change his number to 158.3, which is the highest possible passer rating you can get. And you joined him the next week.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I feel like I need to change my weight to 158.3.
So you've thrown a touchdown pass. You had that great play on the two-point conversion. We've seen you run the ball. We've seen you catch the ball and return punts and kicks. What's your... In your mind, so far this season, what's the highlight moment for you, your favorite part?
The favorite thing was really the Pittsburgh Steelers run, the one that got called back. I feel like it was just so exciting in Soldier Field. That's the loudest place I've ever been in my life. And after that touchdown, it was just rocking. Like, the stadium was rocking.
Yeah, in overtime.
The teammates chasing me around. It was just so fun.
You thought you won the game.
Everybody thought I won the game. It was going crazy. But
then the officials say that he stepped out. Yeah. Right, so everyone's down. Next play, bam, Jordan Howard gets the ball, and he got your touchdown.
Oh, yeah, it was still the same energy, you know, because it was basically like the same play but to the other side. So when that happened, I really knew like it was going to happen when the play was called, you know, and it was just still the same excitement. Ran out there talking trash, you know, hyping up Jordan.
When you watch Jordan Howard, do you say – you know, my game is different than Jordan Howard, but you kind of watch him go through his steps of preparation and how he sees the hole. Do you see, you know, when you watch other running backs, do you see it in your own eyes with your own qualities, or do you watch Jordan Howard and go, okay, I can learn something from this, or are you guys completely different?
I feel like we're different backs, but I can see some similarities. Like, I feel like people don't give him enough credit on his quickness. Like, he has great feet.
Right.
Like, in the hole, and his vision is, you know, tremendous. That's why I feel like he gets the yards he gets. And then, you know, he's a big back, so when he gets on contact, he's going to get the extra 3 yards.
You know, think about what it's like to be Jordan Howard in the running backs room, because there's some good talkers in that room. You got you. Benny Cunningham is an outstanding talker. We had him on Bears All Access earlier this season. And Jordan likes to talk with his game. Now, when he's behind closed doors, does he talk more than, say, he does in front of the microphones? Because sometimes I think he would rather try to elude, you know, three 300-pound defensive linemen than have to talk to us.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I feel like Jordan hates the media. He's cool with us. I feel like if you're comfortable and he's comfortable around you, he knows you a little bit, then he open up to you, you know, and talk to you a lot.
He wants to lead the league in rushing. I mean, this guy wants to pursue – greatness. When you have a guy in that room who wants to do that, what does it do for the rest of the guys in that room?
It elevates everybody's game. You know, no matter what your role is on the team, it elevates your game. Like, if he wants to lead the league in rushing, I'm like, okay, he's going to get lead the league in rushing. I want to do it too. So then we're competing against each other. And then Benny's jumping in there. You know, we fight for touchdowns. Everybody's competing against each other. It's going to do nothing but make everybody better.
Is Benny Cunningham the elder state? I mean, because he's been in the NFL the longest, but he's been around to a couple systems. Is he the older spokesman of the room, or is it, you know, Jordan and then everybody else?
It's really Benny. You know, he tries to be a father figure.
Right.
We like tell him he's just a big brother. He's not the father. He liked to tease us about that, him being a vet in the game.
What about the other guys in that room? Because we know the big three, you guys. But Michael Burton, the fullback, used to play for the Lions. He's in that room. We don't hear much from him, but I'm sure you guys do. And then there's Taekwon is in that room as well.
Yeah, Taekwon Mazel. Yeah. Bert is like the perfectionist of all perfectionists. Coach would ask him something like, Bert, why did you block him like this? He was like, oh, yeah, because he was 97 degrees to the left, and I had to take this angle. So Bert is just a character. And then Smoke, Taekwon Mazel, we call
him Smoke. Oh, you call him Smoke?
Yeah, that's his nickname. He got a good nickname.
That is a good one. Did you come up with it, or was that his naturally?
Yeah, he's been had that. So then he's really just like me, you know. He sits on the back row with me, Benny, and just cracks jokes all day, you know, just loves to have fun. And tries to not get peer pressured by Benny into turning on me, because I feel like Smoker's my friend, and Benny tried to fight and tell him that he's his friend. Because he sits in the middle of it, so he's like, whose side you on, Smoke? Whose side you on?
So, wait a minute. Jordan Howard doesn't have a nickname, does he?
Oh, no. We're going to find out, though. We're going to give him one.
Really? So what's in the running? I know that there's no way that you're in a room with somebody, and in your mind, you know, which goes 100 miles an hour, that you're not thinking of what to call this guy.
I think Benny might have made up one already. He like to call him Fat Boy all the time.
Oh, boy.
Jordan don't like that at
all.
Oh,
boy. He's definitely not going to like it now.
But he means it in a complimentary fashion in football terms.
Yeah.
No disrespect.
A football player can call him that, not me.
You know, you look at the running backs, you know, of, you know, the Jim Brown style or you know, the guy, Barry Sanders and stuff, the guys that are quiet, you know, those running backs are kind of reserved when – you know, they're great just because of the effort they give, their preparation and everything. They just don't talk a lot about it.
Tom, you played with Walter Payton, who, in addition to being arguably the greatest running back that's ever played, was also maybe a world-class prankster, probably had as many jokes as Tariq. When you hear Tariq and some of the fun stuff that comes out of his mouth, what do you think of with your former teammate?
Well, I like it because I like superstars to make other people feel happy and smile about being in the situation they're in. And I always use the analogy that Walter Payton, he could walk into an elevator and make everybody smile, laugh, and feel good about themselves, where you have some superstars that walk in, put their head down, make no eye contact, and make everybody feel a little bit uncomfortable. That's not the athletes that go out there and they have a good persona and a good, happy personality.
Have you always been this way?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I feel like growing up with brothers, we played pranks on each other every day. My little brother used to fart in my twin brother's face. He used to make him
what
so mad.
What little brother didn't?
He used to make him so mad. You know, we did, what else did we do? Probably put powder on each other's faces, throwing powder around. Just so much fun things.
Tariq Cohen is our guest here on Bears All Access. I've got a question here that came to us via Twitter from a man named Todd Billings. What do you like best about Chicago so far?
I feel like it's the food. The food. I had some Harold's and this other place called Uncle Remus, and it was just the best chicken.
So you went to the South Side to get Harold's chicken?
Yeah, downtown. I think it was downtown. I don't know. Okay. I really don't know where it's at. But I had it was this sauce called mild sauce, mm-hmm. and he put it on the fries and the chicken. It was just, you know, some of the best chicken I've ever had.
Now, are you at a stage in life where you can eat anything you want, or does it catch up with you?
I really eat anything. You know, I eat Five Guys, Wendy's, McDonald's. I'm really all over the place when it comes to food.
What about the offerings here? You have a quality cafeteria here that, you know.
Yeah, I get two meals a day here. So that third meal, that's where it's out the park. I never know what I'm going to eat for that third meal.
So man, it would be so fun to have a cheat meal every day. And that's basically what Tariq Cohen.
Yeah, I think when you're burning it off and the energy you have. Do you have weekly weigh-ins?
Yeah, we have them every day.
Would you have where you have to be in between?
No, I really I don't have that because my weight doesn't fluctuate. I stay like 181 like every day when I come in.
So you've never ballooned up to like 205 or anything like that in an off season or?
Oh no, I don't know how I would look.
6'5".
I don't know how I would look with 205 on.
Just like bigger and more buff and that stuff.
Look like Benny, no neck Benny.
Oh, man. If they're driving around listening to this, they're making a U-turn. Right. And
right back, I hope he's listening.
Right back to Hallis Hall. But that's kind of the – I feel like there's a group of young players on the offensive side of the ball that you guys are forming a unique bond. Obviously, there's some veterans in the room like Benny as well. But do you guys understand what's expected of you now? Because you see on the defensive side of the ball – how that young core is developing into a special group. Do you feel as though this is something that you guys can accomplish on the other side of the ball?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, coming in, that's what we talked about. You know, me, Mitch, and some of the other rookies in the room, like Tanner, even Eddie Jackson, you know, we all talked about coming in and making plays immediately and doing what we wanted to do.
So last week we had Eddie Jackson. He played for Nick Saban. So there wasn't much of an adjustment period coming to the NFL. We're going to find out a little bit about your background in terms of who you played for, the type of football you played, and the adjustment coming to the National Football League in one of the preeminent franchises, the Chicago Bears. Tariq Cohen is our guest. We're live from the PNC Center at Hallis Hall in front of our friends from Castrol and their local customers. It's Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Sunday's game versus the Detroit Lions is brought to you by Verizon, the official wireless provider of the Chicago Bears. 85 Bear, Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zabeman. Our guest is Bears running back Tariq Cohen. Bears football player Tariq Cohen. He's a running back. He's a quarterback. He's a return man. He's a wide receiver. He does everything that you can do except play defense. But who knows? I mean, it's early in the year. Before all is said and done, maybe we see him at some point doing something defensively. We're live from the PNC Center at Hallis Hall in front of our friends from Castrol and their local customers, and Tariq Cohen is putting on a show in front of the mic. We might call you DJ today. DJ, okay. Tariq. I like that.
Yeah.
Can you rap?
Oh, yeah, I definitely can. You know, mixtape coming soon, 2020.
Can you freestyle? Keep it clean. Can you freestyle?
I can't right now.
Oh, all right. I put him on the spot.
I don't freestyle. I like to write. I got to write.
Yeah.
You know that you become famous for doing a flip, right?
Yeah.
Can you do those multiple flips like we see in the Jesse White tumblers and those types of things?
Oh, yeah, I could do multiple flips. They probably won't be as clean, though. You know, I probably take just a slight pause.
No, you don't get dizzy.
Definitely get dizzy.
Do you?
Definitely. Yeah. Well, I used to flip down a hill after my rec league games. We used to all just flip down the hill. Get to the bottom of the hill, don't know where you at.
How did you first know you had that talent?
It was these other twins that me and my brother knew, and they were doing backflips off each other's backs.
Wait a minute. There was a twin showdown in Bun, North Carolina, population 500?
This is in Raleigh. I was in Raleigh.
Oh, okay. Big time.
Yeah. The capital. So then, we met these other twins. They were doing backflips. So we was like, being the competitors we are, we're like, okay, we got to up our game now. We got to start doing backflips. So we started helping each other, like with one foot in each hand, flipping each other, and then it started from there and just elevated.
Now, the first time, did you have to catch one another or it just flip up in the air and then land on your feet?
Oh, you just hope you land on your feet.
How long did it take before you actually did land on your feet? And what was the surface underneath you when you were going up in the air?
Oh, yeah, it was grass. It was all grass before the first couple of times, you know, after falling and stuff. And then getting confident. It's really confidence when you not scared of flipping. Then when you do it and you know you can land it then, so you can, you know, upgrade it, doing it on concrete or doing it anywhere.
You're looking at me like I can relate to this. At no point in my life could I flip unless I tripped on something or I was on a trampoline.
If you practiced it, I promise you could do it.
No, will we see it in a celebration in the NFL level?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, every time I've scored so far, I forgot to celebrate. I just be so so excited. I don't know what to do with anything.
You know, after they made that rule change, I expected a lot more in the end zones of the NFL stadiums, and they haven't been very clever, and there hasn't been a lot of them.
You didn't like the potato sack one?
No, I didn't like the potato sack.
What about the baseball one?
No, the leapfrog that the Minnesota Vikings did this week was clever. But, you know, when I expected to see a lot more out of a guy like Antonio Brown, because it was kind of a rule change just for him. And, you know, it just hasn't been that much.
I feel like, you know, when you get that freedom, you just really don't know what to do with it. So then you want to up your game so bad, you just, you know, you have a brain fart.
Do you guys actually practice this on the practice field?
Yeah. You know, I think me and JB have one waiting. We both have to be on the field at the same time.
Because he scored last.
I wasn't on the field, though, so couldn't do that one. And so we just have one waiting for the
They have
right
personnel
moment.
Groupings for their celebrations. This is fantastic. I love this stuff. And we bring, you know, we were talking about Eddie Jackson before the break, and, you know, he plays for Nick Saban. There's not a lot of joking around when you play for Nick Saban in Alabama. You, I think, and when you play at Alabama, everyone knows about you. You're playing in every big game every single week. They're usually playing for a championship by the end of the year. I think the nation first got an understanding of who you were and what you could do when you were on SportsCenter. You were in the front lawn of the SportsCenter studios, right?
Yeah.
And I laughed at this because today, you know, the Bears were pointing out that there's only one ball. So, you know, you got to spread it around. One guy can't have every single football. I know what you could do with two footballs because we saw it on SportsCenter.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. You know, that was a crazy experience, you know, just being in Bristol. Live TV, I was so nervous to do the backflip. I did not want to mess up.
How did they find out about you?
I had posted to my social media, and it just caught fire there. I feel like that's the best marketing team ever, you know, Instagram. So it spread through that. And then somebody who works at ESPN, you know, they went to A&T. So then they reached out to me, and I just got in contact with them that way.
And explain to people on the radio, because for people who haven't seen it, and you can YouTube it, but for people who haven't seen it, exactly what you did.
I did a backflip while catching two footballs, one hand each, and that just exploded, went crazy.
Well, there's probably not a lot of people in the world that can do something like that because it was you know, how much attention when we were out of training camp and they have what they do, they shoot punts out of them, passes. It's called the jugs machine, so you can kind of put a perfect flight on it every time. And so the punt returners, they catch as many as they can catch and hold at the same time. And I think you were out there with five one time. You know, holding five footballs and still catching another punt as it's coming down.
Oh, yeah, that's the biggest competition during camp. You know, all those punt return guys, see who can get the most. And the crowd really plays a big factor
right
in that. The first day, I think I just caught three, and they were so excited. And I was like, oh, I know I can get more than three. So then we started getting more. And then as we got further on in the camp, like we would start the drill, and then we would get three, and nobody would clap. Like it was like, okay, this is regular now. So then we just like, okay, we know what we have to do now. We got to get like four or five.
So back to the SportsCenter appearance. You said you were nervous. Did you have a practice run before they went live with this?
Yeah, we were practicing like probably 3 minutes before we went on. And then the grass was wet, and it was in the morning. I wasn't properly stretched right.
Oh, man.
You know, but the quarterback who was throwing to me, he was more nervous than I was. I was trying to calm him down. I was like, all you have to do is throw the ball. All you have to do is throw the ball. Just throw it right here, and then I'm going to do the rest.
Wasn't there how many practices this year during the regular season have you begun the practice with a backflip just to get everybody going?
I do it, like, you know, every now and then. I really do it when I feel like my back is tight. So I feel like it stretches my back out like nothing else. I'll just do a flip, and then I'm ready to go. So then I see, I might tell the teammate, I'm like, come on, Benny, do a backflip. And he's like, man, you know I can't do one. So then just to tease him, you know, I just bust out a backflip.
I'm laughing because I'm just thinking about all the different things that you must hear inside the locker room. You know, when we had Akeem Hicks on, I would say that he's very clever and shrewd in the way he can make fun of people.
Yeah.
But you can be too. Has anyone gotten you in the locker room with a line that you didn't have a comeback to immediately?
It's really Keem, and it's not even in the locker room. It's on the field. Like, during OTAs, camp, this is most used joke ever. I don't know why he still says it. But every time we break the huddle, we'd be like, break. And then he'd be like, empty, empty, empty. And he'd be like, oh, never mind. I didn't see him. And then he'd see him back from the back. I'm like, man, you keep saying the same thing like, every time. And I just don't know what else to say to him.
What about guys on other teams? Your introductory year to the NFL, is anybody out there kind of either hit you and said something to you or you made a miss and look bad and say something to you because of that?
The guy from the Falcons said something to me. The ball was out in front of me, but he was right there. Like, and he would have hit me as soon as I caught the ball. So he just hit me, and I didn't catch the ball. He was like, yeah, you know what's up. And I was like, man, you wasn't even going to do nothing. He was like, well, catch the ball then. I just ran back to the huddle. I was like, all right. I mean, you got a point.
Are you a talker on the field?
I don't talk unless somebody talks to me. You know, I just like to go about my game, just play the game.
Can you share a moment where, you know, because that time he got you.
Yeah.
Is there a moment where you got somebody else? Maybe you don't want to give away the name. You can if you want to, but.
No, I'm not going to give away the name. But this is during camp. This is during camp here. So I had got this guy on a route, wheel route from the backfield. And then after I caught it, I was like, you got to get your defense up, man. He was like, what? What you say to me, Rook? And he looked at me, and he mushed my helmet. I was like, oh, you want to get mad because I burnt you? I was like, come on now. You got to lighten up. Get your defense up. And then what happened? And he was just so mad.
That's a teammate.
Well, I think that's why you kind of earn the respect you get because you go and you win the play, and then – You know, you don't shy away from the conversation or contact or anything else that was required of you. And I think that was the fun thing about the Bears fans being able to come out to training camp. And they, you know, they hear a lot about you because of your size, and then they see what you're capable of doing, and that's when you impress them the most. I think that's kind of the neat thing about your journey through sports is it doesn't matter what your dimensions are. It matters what you're capable of doing on the field.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's just what I like to show when I'm out in the field. You know, I know the first thing they're going to see is my size, but then when they see a big play out of somebody so small, you know, it just lights up the room, makes everybody feel better.
I want to find out what questions you get from fans when you're out and about in town, because that to me is the most interesting thing, because most football players are big, like Tom, so people are just in awe. You're a different type of player when people see you. So what kind of questions do you get? We'll find out next from Tariq Cohen here on Bears All Access, live from the PNC Center at Hallis Hall in front of our friends from Castro and their local customers on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is orchestrated by CDW. CDW, people who get it. We're live from the PNC Center at Hallis Hall. It's been a fun hour in front of our friends from Castro and their local customers. 85 Bear Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Zabeman. The marquee attraction is Bears running back Tariq Cohen. And I know that on many a Tuesday, the Bears rookies go out into the community and you visit different schools and you meet with kids in the Chicagoland area. And I'm fascinated by what they want to know from you, because when you walk in there, you're not much bigger than them. And I'm not trying to – it's not a knock on you. It's just the reality. I'm the same size, a little bit different body shape-wise, and I can't do what you do. But at 5'6", when you walk into a school, what do the kids want to know from you?
They really want to know about the hits. You know, they'd be like, how do I take the hits all the time? They ask me how old I am right off the bat. How old are you? And then they always stand up right next to me, like try to get shoulder to shoulder.
Right, right.
See how tall they are compared to me and stuff. You know, just to see who I am and how tall I am.
What's your message for them? Because I'm gonna bet that during your life, there have been so many people who probably tried to convince you to leave football and do something else.
My message is, you know, whatever you want to do, make it about you, you know. Can't nobody tell you what you want to do. So if you want to do something, just give it your all. You know, give it your best shot. And you might not, you know, you might not excel at it at first. But then, you know, if you keep at it for so long, you're going to do good at it at some point.
You know what's neat about you is your message carries to everybody in that classroom. Because usually when you're a football player and you go and you talk to a group of kids, they kind of just attract themselves to being a football player. But because of the limitations that you've been able to overcome and how successful you are, it's kind of neat that you can go in there and look every one of those kids in the eye and kind of deliver your message about, you know, nothing's too difficult, you're never, you know, out of place, and it's got to be rewarding for you to be able to do that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I went to a school yesterday, and the kids was like, they were so happy I came because they feel, you know, more connected to me because I look, you know, just like them. I'm about, they said I look like I'm their age, you know, I'm their size. They were like, they just feel like I'm, you know, somebody that's in the school with them.
Well, that's what it's going to be. Your jersey is going to be a hot seller because everybody can wear actual size.
Oh, yeah. Come on,
instead of, well, no. Instead of you go out there and you put on a Kyle Long jersey or something and, it, you know, you could use two other people and it's down to your, you know, legs and everything.
Yeah, so, definitely.
You didn't ask him, medium? Large?
Oh, yeah, I wear medium. You know, I like a tight fit, though. You know, show the guns off a little bit.
Right, yeah. You can do that. Tom, what did you wear?
You know, it's different because offensive linemen had their jersey so tailored down that we bought one size, but by the time that you had everything taken out of it, it was significantly smaller.
All right, so we found out what kids want to know from you, Tariq. Now, when, say, you're at a restaurant, what do adults want to know?
Really the same things, you know. They're fascinated by my size and all that.
So they also make you stand up and you go back to back, shoulder to shoulder.
I think they do it a different way. They take the picture, and then while they're taking the picture, they saying, you know, some little slick comments like somebody out here just said it. And it was like, you're the same size as me. Okay, yeah. I dunk on you though.
Right.
What is your vertical for people that? Because you're not exactly like you may be the same height as Tariq Cohen, but. Chances are your hands are enormous, right? 10-inch hands, which that means you're not fumbling the football, which is a huge deal. The vertical's got to be through the roof.
Vertical at the combine, I think it was like a 33, 32. You know, it's not too crazy.
But you can dunk.
Yeah, I can dunk. It's on my Instagram page for anybody to think I'm lying. You know, I know it's going to be a lot of naysayers out there. Definitely have the proof.
And how many people in that Bears locker room, just on this team, how many people in that Bears locker room are faster than you?
I don't think nobody's in the locker room faster than me.
Is that just the way you feel, or is that fact?
It's fact.
Very good.
Definitely
so
fact.
Who would come close?
I think, LeBlanc, Bryce Callahan, Kendall Wright think he's so fast, but I'm not going to put him in the conversation.
What about a healthy Wheaton?
Healthy Wheaton, yeah, because he looks like a track guy. You know, he runs with the perfect form. You know, he gets his knees up. But I still think I'll smoke him, too.
Pretty soon they're going to be calling you Smoke inside that locker room.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to take Smoke nickname.
Uh-oh.
That's why he's here, though. You know, he's made it to the NFL and made it this far, apart for his confidence, but being able to back up your confidence and – and I think that's always going to be the attraction, Tariq Cohen, is because no matter every time you get off those buses to visit an opponent's stadium, when you get off the bus, you know, they're going to go, wow, who is that guy? But you'll develop your own, you know, background.
Oh, yeah, definitely, you know, coming out, prove who I am every time I touch on the field, you know, and just, you know, make the crowd go crazy and make plays for my team.
Well, good luck doing that Sunday against the Detroit Lions. Tariq Cohen, it's been a phenomenal hour. Thank you for joining us. For Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabeman, and our friends from Castrol and their local customers here at the PNC Center at Halas Hall. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Chicago Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by IGS Energy and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and PNC.